The reading today is Mark 10, verses 35 to 45, which is on page 607 of the Pew Bibles. Jesus teaches about serving others. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came over and spoke to him. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do us a favour." "What is your request?" he asked. They replied, "When you sit on your glorious throne, we want to sit in the places of honour next to you, one on your right and the other on your left." But Jesus said to them, "You don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I'm about to drink? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism of suffering I must be baptized with?" "Oh yes," they replied, "we are able." Then Jesus told them, "You will indeed drink from my bitter cup and be baptized with my baptism of suffering. But I have no right to say who will sit on my right or my left. God has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen." When the 10 other disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. So Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else. For even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, am I on? Yes, I'm on. Today we start a new sermon series that Scott has entitled Served to Serve. Bit of a tongue twister, but Served to Serve. Now, I wonder what comes into your mind when you hear those words, served and serve. I'm old enough to remember a rather brilliant, but somewhat dated now, comedy program called Are You Being Served? Yeah. Captain Peacock, Mr. Humphreys, and the rest of the gang. But there are sports like tennis, volleyball, badminton, which start each point with a serve. Maybe you think of serving in the military, which we also know, of course, as the services. And when we think of service as a word, these ideas expand. There's the annual fix for your car, the way your food arrives at a restaurant, and possibly even the idea of being in service. Downton Abbey comes to mind. Or maybe service makes you think of where you are right now, being part of a Sunday church service. Whatever the words make you think of, they all have that same underlying idea. One who serves is doing something for someone else. It might be a commercial arrangement or voluntary. It might be sporting or military or civilian. It might require expertise or nothing. It might involve hierarchy or no hierarchy. But whatever the circumstances, the concept of serving is actually an essential part of being a community, of our civil society. And as we shall see, a fundamental part also of being church, of being a follower of Jesus. So, through the sermon series, over the next 8 weeks, we'll investigate the myriad ways we as followers of Jesus can and should serve each other as our community and in the wider world. But more importantly, we will also understand why the Christian life is a life of service, and hopefully through that process, encourage us all to be more involved in service within the community of St. Andrew's. But before we do all that, it is essential we understand why we are called to serve each other. What is the basis of service? And why, therefore, it is actually a joy to serve. And the clue here is in the service title, Served to Serve. We serve others because Jesus has served and continues to serve us first. We love others because he first loved us. We give our lives to service, to the service of others, because he gave his life for us. That's the foundation, and that's what we'll explore today. So this sermon series starts with Jesus. Yeah, always a good place to start, I know. I've got three sections for today. What does Jesus teach us about why we serve and how we are to serve with joy? We'll then have a short but important reminder of what I call the horse and cart principle of Christian service. I will explain myself later. And we'll conclude with a little foretaste of the rest of the series by thinking of what serving can and does look like within St. Andrew's, the who and what of service, if you wish. Now, if you're a visitor here today, feel free to focus on the first two of those rather than the last one. The last one is very much for us as the family. So we'll start with the why, how, and joy of service, and start with Jesus. The example he set and the instructions he gave us. So please, will you turn with me to our reading from Mark's Gospel. You'll find it on page 607 of the Church Bibles in the chairs. Jesus and his disciples were on their way up to Jerusalem for the Passover. And Jesus has just explained that he will be betrayed, he will be killed, and he will rise again. And then we have this story about two of the disciples, James and John, who in truth, I think, have not really understood what Jesus has just told them, as their vision is of Jesus becoming king, having trashed the authorities, and they want the positions of importance in his new kingdom. So we look at verses 35 to 37. Teacher, they said, we want you to do us a favor. Okay, what is your request? Jesus asked. They replied, when you sit on your glorious throne, we want to sit in places of honor next to you, one on your right and the other on your left. Jesus and the two disciples then have a bit of a sort of Q&A session when Jesus checks out whether they've really understood and know what they're asking for. Before Jesus makes it clear that those who will be on his right and left have already been decided by God. Presumably he's referring forward to the thieves who will be on the crosses either side of him a few days later. But the bit I want to focus on is verses 42 to 45. When Jesus reflects on James and John's request in conversation with the other disciples. So reading from verse 42. So Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and give his life as a ransom for many. Whilst Jesus is implicitly reprimanding James and John for their request, the key thing here is the contrast he draws between the way things work in the world and around the world around us and the way things should work and should work in the kingdom of God. If you are to be a follower of Jesus, then the pattern is service, not privilege. The way to recognition is through servanthood, not self-promotion. And Jesus reinforces this by using himself as an example. As God, he could have demanded service from others, but he came to serve by dying for us. As he says, for even the Son of Man, that's Jesus, came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Yeah, he really was the servant king that we sung about a few moments ago. And Jesus reinforces this idea a few days later in the upper room at the Last Supper. Malcolm was just sort of referring to this a few moments ago. It's the day before he was crucified. So if you turn with me, please, to page 647, and that's John's Gospel, chapter 13. In verse 1, it says, Jesus had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. And how does he show that love? Well, it's that story we know, verses 4 and 5. Jesus got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into the basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. Now it was the custom of those days that guests, begrimed from journeying through dusty streets in open sandals, should, on arrival, have their feet washed, always by the lowliest member of the household. Now this clearly hasn't happened. We don't know why. And it would certainly appear that the disciples are not going to be willing to wash each other's feet. So Jesus undertakes the task. He shows what it is to serve and not be served. And he reinforces this later on in the chapter. That's over on verse 34, the next page. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. My friends, that is how we are to operate as Jesus' disciples. This is how the church is to operate. We are to love one another and look to serve one another rather than to be served. That's the Jesus way. That should be our way. And in doing so, we will have joy. Why do I say this? Well, later that evening, Jesus said, I have told you these things so that you will be filled with joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Jesus makes it clear that when we love and serve others, we are, in effect, loving and serving him. And in that, we will find joy. There's that old mnemonic, isn't there? That joy is J-O-Y, Jesus, others, yourself. I think in talking about serving, it applies brilliantly. One more final thought before moving on. Why is service so important in the church? In my mind, it not only reflects God's way at looking at the world, what he wants us to do, but it's also a very important way of making connections and building community. We are the family of God in this place. And as family, we are called to live in community with each other. Now, when you arrive new in a church, becoming part of an existing community can be difficult. And whilst the primary responsibility must lie with those already in the community, we should be welcoming and inclusive. Getting involved in service as a newcomer is a great way to make connections and become part of the family. So, serving others in our community by following Jesus' example is the why, how, and indeed joy of serving. So let me now go back to that horse and cart that I mentioned earlier. Let me explain. There's a very easy trap to fall into when we think about our obligation to serve others in the church. We do not love and serve others in order to win God's approval and ultimately our salvation. No. We love and serve others because God loves us and through Christ has given us salvation to those who believe in him. We must keep the horse of God's love for us, if that's not too an irreverent way of saying it, ahead of the cart of our service. God's love comes first. And again, there's a clue in the series title for the sermons, served to serve. We have been served by Jesus. That leads us to serve others. It's the same clear message we saw in our reading from Mark's Gospel. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. Our service of others is as a response to the good news of the service that we have received already from Jesus Christ. So as we go through this sermon series in the next few weeks and we think about the different ways that we can serve within and beyond our church community, throughout these weeks, please never get to the point of thinking that if I don't serve or don't serve more, I will not be loved and accepted by God. That is totally the wrong way round. What I hope we will see is that we have so much to be thankful for in the way that God loves us and he has served us that we will gladly and willingly with joyful hearts want to be involved in the service of others. Now there is another Horton Cart issue that we sometimes face when thinking about service, in that we believe we have to be expert or skilled before we can serve. That's also wrong. The Apostle Paul, in his various letters to the churches, makes it clear that the followers of Christ have the Holy Spirit within us, giving us the ability to play our part in the church. Janice will be speaking more about that next week, but don't think you have to be an expert or hugely experienced in order to serve. And Paul makes it clear that the church needs a whole variety of people serving in a whole lot of different ways to make it work properly. There will be multiple places each of us can serve, and all are as important as each other, even if some are less visible than others. So please, don't wait to get involved until you think you are ready and have the necessary experience. Indeed, don't wait to be asked. Get stuck in. Discover the joy of serving. So finally, I want to have a think about the opportunities for service here at St. Andrew's as a foretaste of what we'll be looking at in the weeks ahead. So that's the who and what of service. Let's start with the who, because that's the easy one. You should know this by now, it's all of us. We are all required. Your church needs you. Whilst we have the equivalent of, 4 full-time paid members of staff, if you include Scott, virtually everything we do at St. Andrew's is staffed by volunteers who have decided to serve. I know that if Scott was stood here, he would want to say a huge thank you to everyone in the church who already serves, and some in multiple ways. So on his behalf, thank you. Although many are enrolled in serving already, there are always more opportunities to get involved or to get involved for the first time. In fact, I did a rough calculation. I think there are somewhere between 200 and 300 different opportunities to serve here at St. Andrew's. The Bible does not allow service to be an optional part of being a follower of Jesus. It is core. The call to service is for all of us. Of course, we are all in different situations. Some have more time available than others. Some can get involved in many areas, others only a few. But please, do use these next few weeks to seek God, seek his guidance as to where you should be involved. Remembering that service can be in the form of time or talents or treasure. Our ministry here, our ability to do God's work in Goldsworth Park, is wholly dependent on the service of church members in all these ways. I'll say it again. Our ability to do God's work in Goldsworth Park is wholly dependent on the service of church members. Briefly, I just want to highlight two areas of actually urgent need. We have identified as a church our children's and youth work as key ministries at St. Andrew's, and they are areas that are today critically short of help. We can't continue much longer as we are. So, there are two areas. If you think you might be able to help or just want to find out what might be involved, then please talk to Karen, to Patrick, to Scott, or go into the office and see Alison. You don't have to make a commitment on day one. It can just be a genuine inquiry as to what it's about. Nor do you need experience or particular skills. All I ask is seek God and see what he would have you do. So how do I wrap up today? We have seen that our example of service and the instruction to serve comes from Jesus himself. Service is part of being a follower of Jesus, and it's a joy. We serve as a response to the way God has served us. We do not serve to earn God's favor. God loves us for who we are. And we've noted that there are multiple ways to serve here at St. Andrew's, with some in critical need. But let me leave you with a couple of thoughts. First one, the Christian author and speaker, Jeff Lucas, some of you will have heard of him, he tells a story of when he first became a Christian as a teenager in the 1970s. The church where he was a member met in a school. And so on a Sunday, all the chairs had to be put out at the beginning of the service, and after the service, all the chairs had to be put away. And he thought that would be a good place to start serving. Fairly straightforward job, difficult for him to screw it up. Also on the chair team, there was a guy called Ron in his 40s. After a few weeks and talking to other people, Jeff discovered that Ron was a self-made millionaire who owned his own business. So the next Sunday, Jeff, probably not too tactfully, knowing him as a teenager, asked Ron why, given he was so wealthy, he was putting out chairs every week. Ron's reply was simple. It needs doing. And over 50 years later, Jeff says that that three-word response has probably taught him more about serving than many a sermon he's heard since. It needs doing. The second thing which I want to leave you with is a reminder of that final verse of the Servant King that we sang earlier. If you remember, it was this. So let us learn how to serve and in our lives enthrone him, each other's needs to prefer, for it is Christ we're serving. Amen. Should we just take a few moments of quiet? Have a think about what God is speaking to you about. Maybe just thank him for what the service that through Jesus we have received and how we're going to respond. So just a few moments of